Anybody have any coffee? Really strong coffee. Wow. I think we got back about 3 o'clock last night, so it's just like, it's all her fault, too. She made me go. Yeah, there we go, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and... I kept saying I was too old for this thing, you know? Nobody would believe me, so... But anyways, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to you. You are worthy of all praise. And I ask this morning, Lord, as we look at your word, that you will give us understanding by your Holy Spirit. I also ask for strength and clarity of thinking and that I won't say anything too bad or too crazy. And we just pray this in your name. Amen. I do want to say something very quickly about... about just an awesome move. I hate to use that word move because it goes into movement and it's the very thing that this group does not want to be called necessarily because we've used that term. In fact, I was going to say something a little bit earlier, but it seems a little disrespectful, but it's not meant that way. I think it comes from how we all feel sometimes. There's always something coming. Have you ever noticed that? There's always something coming, you know. We talk about how the enemy's attacking us because there's something coming. Would it just get here already? Whatever it is, let it come. Let it get here. You ever feel that way? You know, I feel that way. I've been feeling that way for a long time. You know, there's something coming. Let it get here, you know. The Lord's returning. Come back, please, Yeshua. But I do believe that God wants to pour out his spirit. And I believe that we have been the ones holding it back. We can't blame the Lord. He wants to pour out his spirit. The more and more, that the closer that you get to him, the more and more you realize you're not really ready sometimes for the things he wants to do. Because you know what we do with good things many times? The same thing we did with the good thing he gave us at the beginning, right? In our flesh, we mess it up. And so if we're not surrendered to the Lord like we need to be, if we're not ready to really walk in his spirit, if we're not ready to receive those good things, then whatever God does this time, okay, because there's been a lot of movements in the past, hasn't there? There have been a lot of revivals. The Great Awakening, you know, go back, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years, there's been a revival. Almost every generation, maybe not every generation, but there's been a revival. But what has happened to those revivals? Well, they're obviously not still going on. So what happened? Well, flesh got in there at some point. Pride got in. Ego got in. And I believe the Lord wants to do something different. I believe he wants to do something incredible in our day and age. But he wants to do it without all that other stuff that's been there in the past. Without the pride, without the ego, without the things that keep getting in the way of our flesh that keeps getting in the way. Because when he returns, he's coming back for a bride that is without spot or blemish. Now, there's been a lot of people try to explain that away. I've heard a lot of things from, well, you know, that just means that we have the righteousness of Messiah. Yes, we have the righteousness of Messiah. Yes, we have the righteousness of Christ applied to us. But what is being described there is that that is going to be in manifestation. That is going to be happening. We're going to be loving each other as he's called us to love each other. We're going to be surrendered to him and doing his will and accomplishing his will and seeing things just like we saw in Acts chapter 2. That hasn't gone away. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. That's what the Lord wants his body to get back to. It's not something that we need to be afraid of. And it's not some theological, it has to be this way or that way or you. No, we got to drop all of that. That denominational thing that keeps dividing us. See, that's been the problem in the past. There would be some movement of the Lord and really neat things would happen. And then they try to keep repeating that over and over and over again. The same thing. And then they would go and say, well, because God really moved with us, we have this special knowledge and all of you have to be like us. That's what needs to go away. You know what? The Lord is more than able, just like he works in your life and my life, he works on an individual basis, doesn't he? Every congregation, every group, every ethnicity has its own special little differences. And guess what? The Lord will meet us there. He'll meet us in all those places. He'll meet us there. And when he moves, it's going to be something that is going to be across the board. We need to be willing to be surrendered to him. I was very encouraged last night. By a whole group of 20-somethings, okay? 20/30-somethings. There was both. There was the whole thing in there. Okay, whatever. You know, something like that. Okay, young people. I'm even calling them young people now because I'm getting old. Anyways. Who said, God, we just want to do whatever it is that you have. And we're not gonna allow our differences, because in the Messianic movement, I've been in the Messianic movement for 30 years. I counted it up last night. You know? Yeah. 25 definitely, and 5 kind of before that, back and forth. But I've been in the Messianic movement for 30 years. And I've seen division after division after division, problem after problem, weird theology come in, causing more separation, all this craziness happening in the last 30 years. And it caused us, I mean, when we first started to raise Yeshua, we're like, we don't want to be a part of any association because they're all kind of crazy. They all have their disagreements, they all have their whatever, you know? And it was hard, and even the association we're a part of, we're very loosely attached to, because we don't want to get involved in the politics. And that's what I heard from this whole group last night, who are a cross-section of all these different groups. There's UMJC, MJAA, Jews for Jesus, Chosen People's Ministries, every different type of messianic denomination, Gentiles and Jews, all coming together saying, you know what? We're done with the pettiness. We're done with the fighting. We're done. And we want to be unified in Mashiach, in Messiah. We want to be one as he told us to be, one. And last night it even said, you know what? We need to stop fighting against the rest of the church as well. We need to be one with the whole body of Christ as well. Across the board, God is doing this work. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. And it's last night it was happening in San Francisco. That's where God was doing this work, because you know what? There's nothing that, no barriers, nothing that keep God back from what he wants to do. What if a revival started in San Francisco? Wow! Impossible! That's God. That's God. He does those types of things. Beyond what we understand, beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can come up with, because that's the way he is. And he's awesome. So let's look at this passage today. I wanted to, we've been doing kind of a series on the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. We started by talking about the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are not going to get to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit today, but we're going to begin to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what that all means. Now, I know it's controversial. Many people have many different feelings and beliefs. Hopefully, what you're going to see is looking at the, I mean, my desire is let's look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And let's just go with what the Word of God says without any other stuff that we try to put on it. Now, some of that, I have my own stuff. You have your own stuff. You'll hear some of that will come out. And we'll talk about some of it. But let's first look at one of the main passages that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to start with that first verse. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, as I looked at this, when I looked at the Greek, I found that this was worded slightly differently from what I have always heard. I've always heard what we just read. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. When you look at the Greek, gifts is actually not in that verse. Probably why gifts is italicized, if we see up here, because I didn't put that in there. It did it itself. So let's look at what this is actually saying. What Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is saying here is he's saying concerning the spiritual realm, brethren, concerning the supernatural. That's what the Greek actually says. Doesn't actually say gifts. That's implied in this particular verse. So what it's saying is concerning the spiritual realm or the spirit world or the supernatural, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. That puts a slightly different thing on it, doesn't it? Because I've always read this concerning spiritual gifts. Okay, now we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, we do get to spiritual gifts, and we will talk about that, and we'll talk about what that means. But what Rav Shaul, what the Apostle Paul actually says at the beginning of this passage is concerning the spiritual realm. What he's actually saying is concerning this realm that we normally don't operate in, that we don't think about many times because we don't see it. Okay, there's a whole spiritual realm going on around us all the time. You guys have all heard of angels. There are also fallen angels. They're called demons. Okay, there's a war that happened, according to Scripture, at some point there was a battle that happened, and it started with Lucifer, an archangel, who decided that he was beautiful enough and qualified enough and just such a great creation, even though he'd forgotten he was a creation of God, that he thought, well, I can take the place of God. And he rose up against God. He challenged God and got his butt whooped. He got kicked out. And he said he took a third, it says in Revelation, a third of the stars. The dragon took a third of the stars with him in its tail. It says in other passages, it implies this, that he took a third of the angels, they followed him, and they became what are known today as demons, demonic spirits. Okay? This battle between the angelic forces, the forces of God, and the demonic forces is going on all the time. You and I can't see it, so many times we don't think about it, but it's happening all the time. And what Paul is saying here is, he's saying, now concerning the spiritual realm, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. What he wants us to think about here is that there's another whole reality. And I say it that way intentionally. It's a reality. There's another whole reality that in many ways is even more real than what we see in the physical all the time around us. Because that reality is going to continue for all eternity, right? At some point, this is all going to go away. But we don't see it. So many times we don't think about it. And that's why Paul is saying here, I don't want you to be ignorant about it. Because he's going to show us that we have been given authority by the Lord. We have been given power by the Lord through the Holy Spirit to operate in this other realm without fear. We don't need to fear this other realm. Now, you know, I know people that, and maybe I've even done this in the past, who blame Satan or demons for every problem they have in their entire life. Now, I'm not saying we need to go there, okay? Most of my problems I create myself. Most of my problems, the demons don't have to do anything because I'm already there. Most of my sin, my flesh is already there. You know, I mean, you know, yes, there are times when I believe that the enemy really comes in and he tries to discourage, he tries to destroy good things that God is doing, and those are, you could call them demonic attacks. But basically what Paul is saying here is, guys, I don't want you to be ignorant, because God has given you, he has given you power, he's given you resources. And that's what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about the resources that we have as the body of Messiah. And here's the thing. He hasn't given me all the resources so I can do everything. He's given us the resources. As a congregation, as the body of Messiah, he has gifted each one of us with different things so that we can stand together against the enemy. And we need each other. And he set it up that way. He set it up so that we need each other. Now, there are times that you need multiple gifts. You could call them. There's times you need multiple resources from the Holy Spirit. And you get them. Sometimes you continue to have them. Sometimes he gives them to you for a short time, and then they're not needed anymore. But we need each other. He's given you, some of you, different gifts that he hasn't given me. Two things need to happen. You need to be willing to walk in that gift that he's given you, and I need to be willing to listen to you and recognize it. That's what always needs to happen. We need to be willing to walk in the gifts, and we need to be willing to recognize the gifts in others and let them walk in the gift, not just do it all for them. And not tell them how it has to be done, because it needs to be according to the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that. Anyway, so this word in the Greek really means non-carnal, ethereal, I can't say that word. Anyways, supernatural, ethereal, yeah, thank you. Regenerate, spiritual. There's a whole spiritual world. So actually, like I said, this is concerning what comes from the spiritual. And then that last word, ignorant, is not to know. Paul is saying here, I don't want you not to know. I don't want you to ignore the spiritual realm. I don't want you to basically, out of ignorance, be afraid of it either. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Did you hear that? They are weapons. They're not carnal. They're mighty in God for what? The pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds of the enemy. Strongholds starting right here in our own lives. You know, the enemy has put strongholds in our lives because of past. It might be addiction. I know when I think addiction, we think drug and alcohol and pornography and all that stuff. But you know what? It could just be addicted to something that's a distraction from what we need to be doing with the Lord. It could be addiction to food. I kind of got that, I think. Maybe. I don't know. But anyways, it could be addiction to whatever. It's a distraction from what God wants us to do. It's a stronghold. It could be a trigger. Maybe something happened to you in your life. And so you have this thing that every single time a certain time of the year comes around, or every single time somebody makes a certain comment, you're devastated by it. Even if they didn't mean that at all, they didn't mean to hurt you, they didn't mean, you know, but you instantly are devastated, and sometimes that causes you to lash out. Okay, that's a stronghold of the enemy. But what this is saying is, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of those strongholds. God doesn't want those to stay, and he's given us the resources to pull them down. He's given us the resources.
And it says here, look at what it can casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down the arguments of the enemy, the arguments of our own flesh. Okay, those are really strong. Sometimes the arguments of my own heart are even stronger than what I hear from the enemy. That the condemnation that I hear from my own heart can sometimes be even stronger. But all that, he's given us resources, he's given us weapons to pull those things down and listen to what he's saying. Listen to his word. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah. Every thought. Every time it comes up, that's the spiritual warfare we're talking about here. Every thought, every stronghold being brought into obedience under the Lord. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. I'm not going to be pulled down by that anymore. I'm not going to let that have effect. I'm going to submit to the Lord. I'm going to humble myself before the Lord, and I'm going to walk on by the power of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling, completing the things that he has called me to do, just like the Messiah did. Yeshua said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. Take up the cross and follow me. That doesn't mean wear a cross around your neck. It's not what that means. That means take up the suffering, take up the shame, take up the pain that he took up. But don't take it up and try to carry it with your own strength. Let him live in you. We have to die. And he lives in us. And if we have that resurrection life of Yeshua living through us, we can carry those things because it's not us carrying it anymore. And then that hurt, that pain, that anger, that resentment, that sadness, that depression, all that is turned to joy. A calm contentment that we can have. And we don't get worked up by everything that comes along. So he goes on in Romans 12, 2. You know that you were Gentiles. Remember he's talking, or Corinthians. Corinthians 12, 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. I love this verse. It's really funny. Anyways, sounds really funny. We'll get to what it means. In this particular case, he is specifically addressing the Corinthian church, which is mostly non-Jewish, but it's not only to the non-Jews that he's addressing this. He is basically saying, you know that you were pagan in your thinking. Even those who called themselves Jews, many of them that called themselves Jews when they were in Corinth, they had become pagan in their thinking as well. And that's what this is basically saying. You know that when you were pagan in your thinking, you were Gentiles. You know what I also like about this verse? It implies something, doesn't it? You know what this implies about all of you non-Jews that are out there? You're now Jews. That's how Paul looked at it. That's how Paul looked at it. Not a blood thing. You still have your identity. Whatever language, whatever tongue you came from, that's still going to be there. But from a spiritual standpoint, before God, and in a sense, yes, also a blood thing, the blood of Yeshua, you are one with Israel. So you know what that means? We don't have that wall partition anymore. We don't, in a messianic congregation, messianic Jewish congregation, we shouldn't be going around going, well, how Jewish are you? How Gentile are you? You know, there's no hierarchy there. It's the calling of God. See, now, God has a different calling for Jewish people who are Jewish by blood. He has a different calling for them. He chose them. He's doing something there. And he has a calling for Gentiles. But there's one thing, but there's a calling that both of us share as well. And we are one in the Lord, but we don't lose our identity. Just like if you become a believer, if you're a woman, you don't stop being a woman, right? You're still a woman. I love it when people come along and they say, there's neither Jew nor Greek. And they stop there. It goes on, it says male nor female, slave nor free. You don't stop being a woman when you become a believer. You don't stop being a man when you become a believer in Yeshua. If you're a Jew, you don't stop being a Jew. If you're part Jewish, you keep being part Jewish. If you're Gentile, you keep being Gentile. However, when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to what's important to God and what should be important to us, we're one in Him. And so there's no more restrictions. There's no more barriers. There's not a second-class citizen. You are fully in Yeshua. You are fully in Him. But it's okay to be different. Differences are okay. God created them. God loves them. He loves all different types of people, sorts of people, languages, worshiping and glorifying Him. When we take away our differences, when we try to become everything the same, we diminish the whole point of His glory, what He wants to do by having different people, different backgrounds, worshiping and glorifying Him. Every nation, every tongue, every tribe will worship and glorify Him. Be who God made you to be. Don't try to be somebody else. You know what I loved about what we just saw in Grassroots? You got about 10 people up there. The main spokesperson was a Gentile. Told you right up front he was a Gentile. He likes to say he married a Jewish lady, and so, you know, he got in that way. But he's a Gentile. He's a Gentile, and he's happy as a Gentile. And you know what? He totally, there's no barrier there. You see this group of people, and that doesn't come up from the Jews. The Jews don't say, well, you're a Gentile, so you don't understand this. But he lets you know right up front. He doesn't try to be Jewish. He's just who he is. But God called him to co-lead a Messianic Jewish congregation in Frederick, Maryland. And what I love about it is he's totally secure doing that because he knows it's from the Lord. See, when it's a calling, you don't have to prove it. See, Yeshua didn't walk around telling everybody, hey, guys, you know I'm the Messiah, right? Hey, everybody, hey, you know I'm the Messiah. Hey, Pharisees in the back, you know I'm the Messiah, right? You need to listen to me. Jesus didn't walk around doing that. He didn't have to prove that. It was his calling. It was who he is. It's who he is. You and I, we are children of God. We have been, however you came to him, in whatever state, not the sin part, but the other part, it says remain in that state. Be content in that state. We don't have to prove anything because we belong to him. I don't know how we got off on that. But anyways, well, I do know. You know that when you were Gentiles by uncircumcision of the heart, okay, is what he's talking about here, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. So let's break that down. Ethnos. The word there is ethnos. It's a race. It's a tribe, specifically a foreign one, by implication, Gentile. In that it says were once means that you are Gentiles no longer. You understand that? When you come to know Jesus, Yeshua, as your Savior, you are Gentiles no longer from God's standpoint, from how he sees you. You still have your identity, your difference, whatever, but you are now part of Israel. And we need to look at each other that way. And that's an awesome thing. Being grafted in means that just that. You are now one with Israel. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 11 through 14. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. I think Paul was as clear as he possibly could be in that passage. I don't understand why we don't get it today. I don't understand why we want to keep the separation. Once again, we don't do away with our differences, but we agree that we're going to be one in Messiah. And so the differences don't matter. They just enrich the body. They make the body beautiful. I can pick on Jackie because, you know, she's a Sephardic Jew and I'm an Ashkenazi Jew. And we go back and forth about this. It's one of our humorous things we do. But you know what? We're one in Messiah, in Him. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter from God's perspective. You know, if we embrace who God has made us to be, and we say, Lord, with all my heart, I'm going to please you. I'm going to go after you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to worry about my identity because my identity is okay. It's not just okay. It's secure. My identity is actually taken care of in Messiah. Remember what Paul said about his past identity struggle? What did he say? I count all that as rubbish that I might gain Messiah, that I might know Messiah and the power of his resurrection. Paul had one of those resumes that some of us would be like, oh, that would be so awesome. I could be like trained by Gamaliel, the great grandson of Hillel. What would the Orthodox Jews say about that? Oh my gosh, they would love me. I could be a great rabbi. Paul says, I count it all as rubbish that I might know Messiah and the power of his resurrection. Now, if Paul was willing to count all that as rubbish, why are we always craving it? Why are we wanting that recognition of man? Wanting that status? Always wanting what somebody else has. The grass is always greener on the other side, right? Oh, well, you know, if I only had, oh, if I did that, oh, if I... We have everything. You and I, Jew or Gentile, male or female, worker or owner, whatever, however you want to interpret slave or free today, we have everything we need in Yeshua. Everything. Everything we need in the Ruach HaKodesh that he's given us. Look at some of these words. To lead, to go, to pass the time. This is the word ego. Ego. Looks like I skipped something here. But anyways, you know that you were Gentiles carried away. That's that word. Being carried away to the dumb idols. There's an ego and apego, apego. And these two words are put together here. It means to bring or drive, to carry off, to carry away, to lead away. At one point, we were led away by dumb idols, mute idols, idols that could not help us. They could not talk to us. The Lord talks to us through the power, through the Holy Spirit and through his word all the time. He talks through to us. These dumb idols, they don't talk to us. When's the last time your money told you something? Yeah, idols, you know. When's the last time it said, hey, spend me? Well, maybe quite often, I don't know. Mine's always burning a hole in my pocket, you know. You got it there, so do something with it, you know. Anyways, idols, an image for worship, by implication, a heathen god. Huh. And that shouldn't have been a capital, sorry. I did the replace, you know, find all the god and replace it with G/D. Anyways, a heathen god, or plural, the worship of such, idols.
We got lots of idols in our lives, don't we? We say we don't. Maybe we don't have physical idols that we bow down to and burn incense to or something. But we have things that dominate our life. We have things that take up our time. We have things that we worry about all the time. We have things that we want all the time, that we desire all the time, that are not of the Lord. They're not the Lord. That's an idol. And those are the things that we were once carried away with. Now they're just kind of still there. They still pop up every now and then. And what the Lord wants us to do is get them out of the way. He wants to pull down those strongholds, those idols in our life that have taken up our time, taken up our effort, made us ineffective in our walk with the Lord. He wants to remove those from our lives. Then he goes on in 1 Corinthians 12:3. He says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed. And no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I think it's important that we lay this foundation before we get to the gifts of the Spirit, understanding these aspects that Rav Shaul Paul, the Apostle Paul, thinks is so important for us to understand. He says, first of all, because, see, we're going to be talking about things that are of the Spirit and things that are not of the Spirit, right? And there's a lot of spiritual things out there. There's a lot of people that when you talk to them, they say, "Well, I'm a spiritual person." You know, some people even say, "Well, I believe in God, yeah, and I'm a spiritual person." But what they mean is not the Holy Spirit many times. Not the Holy Spirit at all. So Paul is giving us some understanding. He's saying, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed." I have heard it said by believers who want to appease the ultra-Orthodox, who want to appease Chabad on some level or any of those other organizations, I've heard them say, "Well, they have the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit. They just don't know what it is. They have Yeshua. They just don't know who he is yet. And yet they're calling him accursed." Very clearly saying he's accursed. In fact, they change his name to another name to say he's a curse. They won't say Yeshua. They call him something else. And it's a curse. Even say, "May he never have been born." They blot him out whenever they can. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Straight up, Paul is saying right here, Rav Shaul is saying, if somebody calls Yeshua a curse, it's not from the Holy Spirit. So let's not mince words. Let's not say people have the Holy Spirit who don't. They have another spirit. They have another spirit. Now, if you say, "Oh, but how can you say that about Jewish people?" I am a Jewish person, first of all. But how can you say that about Jewish people? How can you say that about the ultra-Orthodox? We're supposed to love them. Yes, we love them. I'm not saying don't love them. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We're supposed to love them. I'm not saying I don't love them and I don't pray for them, but I'm saying the spirit that says Yeshua is a curse is not from the Lord, period. And neither was Peter's comment to Yeshua, was it? Peter says, "No, Lord, that will never happen to you." What was Yeshua's response? "Get behind me, Satan." He said that about Peter. So I'm not saying these are horrible, nasty, terrible people who can never, who don't have a heart from God, for God or anything like that. I think many of them do really want to please God. Rav Shaul, before he became a believer, really wanted to please God. But he was blind. And the spirit that was driving him to kill believers and to imprison them was certainly not the Spirit of the Lord. Let's call it the way it is. If we don't call it the way it is, we'll get confused when it comes to the spiritual realm.
And that's what Paul is trying to, he's removing all confusion here. Because what he's talking about is not a physical battle. I'm not saying I would go to Mindy Zwiebel down in Chico and say, "You're of the devil! In the name of Yeshua, come out of him!" No, of course not. We're not talking a physical confrontation here. We're talking, we understand the spiritual battle behind this. We understand the motivation behind these people. They think it's God, but it's not. What did Yeshua say to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? What did he say to Rav Shaul on the road to Damascus? Here he is. He's on his way to go persecute the believers in Damascus. That's his task. And he thinks it's absolutely what God wants him to do. He did it in ignorance. He absolutely thought he was doing God's work. But all of a sudden, he gets that light. It blinds him. He's blinded. He's down on his knees. He can't see anymore. And he's having this, you know, he's like, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" He knows it's the Lord. There's no question there. "Who are you?" "I am Yeshua, whom you're persecuting." Without that revelation. Now, I think there were some believers seriously praying for Paul, for Saul, for Rav Shaul. There were some believers seriously praying for him. They were doing what Yeshua told them to do. Pray for your enemies. Love those that persecute you. And God answered their prayer. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be fighting that spiritual warfare. Not physical. Not going down and confronting them and all the stuff. Speaking the truth of God's word. But fighting that battle in the spiritual realm. So I want to make that clear. We love the ultra-Orthodox. We love the non-believing Jewish people. But the spirit behind it is a spirit of lies and deception that has kept them from their Messiah for the last 2,000 years. However, that's starting to unwind. The scales are starting to fall off every single day. Every time we get back together with people at Jews for Jesus at InGathering, every time, lots of times, even throughout the year, we hear more and more Jewish people coming to know the Lord. I don't know. 184 Jews got saved in the Ukraine this year. One outreach. I think maybe God has a plan for all the craziness going on over there. Gets people thinking, gets people desiring, gets people wanting the Lord, seeking after him. 184 Jewish people came to know the Lord. God is starting to remove those veils that over their eyes, the scales over their eyes. But it's a spiritual battle. So no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed. The Spirit of God never says, never, ever, 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 ever says. There's no place where the Spirit of God will ever tell you Yeshua is accursed. Ever. That word for accursed in the Greek is anathema. Anathema. It's a religious ban or excommunication or accursed or anathema or whatever. So, and that's exactly what the ultra-Orthodox say about Yeshua, and that's what they say about anybody who believes in Yeshua. They basically say you can't be Jewish if you believe in Yeshua. You're not Jewish anymore. I don't care how you were born, what your blood background is, you're not Jewish anymore because you believe in Yeshua. Where's that spirit? That's not of the Lord. Paul makes it very clear. That's not from God. So let's not say it is. You know, and there's whole organizations today that say, oh, well, they have the Spirit of God. They just don't have the understanding. And the Spirit of God is, no. Their rejection of Yeshua is a rejection of the Father, is a rejection of the Holy Spirit. It's a rejection all across the board. You can't have one without the other. They are one. They are united. They're echad, to use their own terminology, against them. They're echad. God is echad. He's one. The Spirit of God always says, Yeshua is Lord. If it's of the Spirit, it will always say Yeshua. He will always say Yeshua is Lord. If the Holy Spirit is in us and working in us, we cannot deny that Yeshua is Lord. We will have to say that Yeshua is Lord. There's no playing games with that. There have been people that have tried to make aliyah and tried to lie about whether they were really believers or not. That's the whole foundation is on a deception. You know, we chose a long time ago that if we ever go to make aliyah, we're going to make it very clear that we're believers in Yeshua. You don't like that? Too bad. We'll go back to wherever we came from. But we're believers in Yeshua. However, we're trusting God. If he wants us in the land, we'll be in the land as believers in Yeshua. We won't have to lie. We won't have to sneak in. We won't have to do any of that. That's man's way of doing things. You know, that's like Abraham, Sarah saying to Abraham, let's go get Hagar and let's work this out because God told us to do it. So now we've got to make it happen, right? No, we don't make it happen. God does the work by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I are not the ones that make these things happen. Yeshua, or the Holy Spirit, always says Yeshua is Lord. That word in the Greek, Kyrios, supreme in authority. By implication, Mr. God, Lord, Master. The Holy Spirit will always, always refer to Yeshua as supreme, as Lord. So any spirit that comes along that says differently is not from the Lord. That's what he's saying. That's pretty clear. We don't like that because, well, we like that person. They're a very nice person. Yes, they're a very nice person. But they're a very lost nice person. So let's start praying for their salvation. Let's start praying that their eyes are open. Once again, we don't attack the person, but we fight the spiritual battle. We fight against those spiritual forces. Paul goes on to say, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. What I just said, all for one and one for all. They work together. They work together. Yes, the three musketeers, I know. Anyways, they work together. They work with each other. They are one unit. You cannot separate them. You can't say, well, Yeshua, you just take a back seat and we'll just work with the Holy Spirit for a while. You also can't say, Holy Spirit, you take the back seat, we'll just work with Yeshua for a while. There's a lot in the church to try to do that. We're not real comfortable with the whole Holy Spirit thing. So we're just going to focus on Jesus and God. The Holy Spirit makes us feel uncomfortable. Too bad! Too bad! They're all in one. They're together. We can't be rejecting one part of God and accepting the other part because one part makes us feel uncomfortable. So let's let the Lord do what he wants. Stop putting restrictions on what the Lord wants to do that come from our fear. See, last night what I saw, it's that whole attitude of saying, if we really love each other, we're going to stop fearing each other. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, we're not to the perfect love, but we can start moving towards love, can't we? And in the process of moving towards love, love of God and love for each other, we throw away the fear. We say, no, we're not going to fear anymore. We're going to love. We're going to love. So there are diversities of gifts. Let's look at this. This word diversity means a distinction, a variety, a difference. There's diversity. Diversity, that's a big term today, right? Unity and diversity. See, the world has already jumped out there. You know, they've already gone, unity and diversity. And their idea of it is ridiculous. It really is. You know, you have all this push for it. But you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the enemy got a little bit of an idea of where God was going with his body. And so the enemy, like he always does, he puts the false part out there, doesn't he? He puts the false unity out there. You know, the false unity today, and even in the church, it's crept even into the church, is, well, you know, we can all just coexist. We can coexist with Islam and with unbelieving Judaism, and even with some of these like Hindu and Buddhist and all that. We can all just coexist. We can all just get along. And that's the unity that the enemy wants to push on everybody. It's unity without truth. And it's unity without love. Love that comes from God. It's tolerance. We'll tolerate each other, but we won't love each other. And we certainly won't love anybody who disagrees with us. Especially not those believers who dare to say in their arrogance that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by him. How dare they? And the enemy, the devil, is working the world into a frenzy, to where they can't even see straight anymore, and they equate us with ISIS for believing the truth, for loving them. You're so arrogant. How could you condescend to love me? The enemy has totally warped this thinking. But see, God is moving his body and anybody who wants to be a part of it into this place of unity, into this place of love, and it's crossing all barriers, all denominations, everything that in the past in the church and in the body of Messiah we thought that was insurmountable is being surmounted by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Lord. It's breaking them down, all those walls. He keeps doing it. Yeshua keeps doing it. And if this generation doesn't do it, he'll use the next generation. But it will happen. It will happen. He will bring his body to a place of love and unity and diversity. And it'll be a place that will bring him glory and honor. And it will be holy without spot or blemish. So there are diversities of gifts. Variety. He gives us different gifts. There's diversity. There's differences of ministry. Actually, that word for ministry is where we get the word charisma from. Okay, that's the first word. Sorry, gifts. Gifts, not ministry. There's diversity of gifts. That word gifts is actually charisma. Charismatic just means gifts. Or those who believe in the gifts. You know, we've really taken that way far. Way more than it was intended in the Greek, okay? This right here is just a gratuity, deliverance, a gift. There's diversity of charisma, of gifts. Spiritual endowment from the Lord. That's what that word actually means as well. It could be a religious qualification or miraculous faculty. And anyways, whatever it is, it's free. It's free from the Lord. Free. So there's diversity of gifts. And then it's the same word for diversity. The same word is used in every case here. There's differences in diaconia, service, aid. There's differences in ministry, ministering, ministration, ministry, office, relief, serving, all of these words. It's where we get the word deacon from in the church today. Okay, that's where it comes from. Not only are deacons have these gifts, it is for all of us. We have different ministries, different service, different offices, different places that we can serve. It's all part of the gifts that he gives us. And then there's different workings. As it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So there's different gifts, there's different ministries, there's different activities or operations or effects that God works in our lives, but it's the same Spirit, Lord, and God in every case. I found the wording to be interesting because if you look at the context of what he was just saying about no one calls Yeshua accursed if they're of the Holy Spirit, and no one calls him Lord except from the Holy Spirit, I find this very interesting that he uses these three words. That he says that there's different gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different ministries, but the same Lord. There's different activities, but the same God. So what do we have? The Holy Spirit, the Lord, Yeshua, and God the Father. We have all three represented in this passage, in this scripture verse. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are represented in what he says. And they're all one. This shows the triune nature of God, or three expressions of who he is. I like to look at it that way, because that whole triune nature gets really confusing. How can three be one? You know, we won't ever know this until we know him even as we are known. So just stop trying to figure it all out and come up with, oh, well, I know, Pastor Sam, exactly how. No, you don't. Sorry. You can tell me all day. It'd be like, you know, I'll start turning blue in the face if you keep telling me. Anyway, because none of us know. We don't fully understand that part of God, that nature that God has. What we do know is there's three expressions of who he is. He expresses himself as the Father, who it says, Yeshua says, no man has seen the Father at any time. Pretty clear statement, isn't it? No one has seen the Father at any time, but the Son, he has revealed him. So he expresses himself as the Son, Yeshua. The Son is a physical representation. In Scripture it says, all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. That's how it describes Yeshua. And the Holy Spirit. And these are three expressions of who God is. Three expressions of himself to you and me. That's the best way that I have to understand it. It's all one. He's all one. But he expresses himself in three different ways to you and me. Finally, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, this is very important that we understand this. The manifestation, that word, is exhibition. Expression, bestowment, manifestation. It is something that is seen and experienced. For you non-experiential people, there is something about the Holy Spirit that gets experienced. There's manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That is something you and I can actually feel or see or touch or smell or something, whatever. We get it. It's a manifestation. Either we see a miracle, we see God really working in somebody's life, we hear a word of knowledge that lines up with God's word. All of these things are manifestations of God working by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what it's saying here is, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, None of you are excluded. If you're a believer in this room today, you have been given the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will work through you. God has a gift for each one of us. And that gift is for the profit of all. It's not for the profit of one. God doesn't give us a gift so we can sit there and go, look at me. I'm really great. Everybody,
send me money. I'll heal you, but you got to send me money. Does this sound that? I'll heal you? Yeah, see? Not the Holy Spirit. The Lord will heal you through me. That would be better, but you got to send me money. No, it's not for the profit of one. God gives those gifts for the profit of all. For the profit of all. He gives each one of us gifts so we can encourage each other. We can help each other. It brings profit. It helps the whole body function as a body. What if the heart decided to say to the rest of your body, I'll give you blood, but you got to give me something back. I'll give you blood, but I'll tell you what. You got to give me something. I need some money here or something. I don't know what the heart would want. But anyways, oxygen? I don't know. It gets that, doesn't it? See, blood flows through the whole body. It does its thing. There's other things that our body needs to function, but it's for the profit of the whole body. And if one of those things shuts down, the whole body suffers. Now, thankfully, God built in some fail-safes there. If you lose one eye, you got another eye. That's good, right? You lose one ear, you got another ear. You lose one hand, you got another hand. There's some things that doubled up. Lose a leg, you still got another leg. Hopping is a little hard, but okay. There's things that he's doubled up on. You lose your heart, you're out of, you're gone, sorry. Lose your head, you're also, that's it. You don't get another head. We don't have two heads, usually, okay? So, but what I'm saying is, who's the head of the body? Well, it's Yeshua. We're not going to lose Yeshua, are we? No, he's the head. He's the head. See, there's aspects of the body of Messiah you're not going to lose. There's other aspects that kind of, you know, I mean, sometimes they don't function the way they should. Many times they don't function the way they should. And we need to start restoring those parts of the body. The weaker parts of the body, we need to be protecting. The weaker parts here at Hooray Yeshua, we need to be protecting. Not attacking. If somebody comes in and they don't understand everything, that's great. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's love each other. Don't attack. Love. Minister to. Minister to each other. Yes, I am really almost done. Okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. And that's the idea for the advantage, being better for, bring together everyone, to be expedient, to be good, profitable. And with this, we're going to close, because the next few weeks, what I'd like to do is go through this next passage of Scripture, 8 through 11, and break it down. And we're going to look at other passages of Scripture that go with this. We're going to look at each one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit from a biblical standpoint, from a messianic Jewish standpoint. Old and New Testament, we'll look at some of those areas. Brit Hadashah, the Tanakh, the Torah, how all of it comes together. And how the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given believers today, what that means in each one of these. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Remember the verse we just went through? And it will be for the profit of all as well. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the Ruach HaKodesh that you have given us. And we ask, Lord, that we will not be fearful, that we will not be fearful of the supernatural, because we will realize the power and authority that you have given us by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we will not be fearful to step out and begin to walk in the
gifts that you have given us through your Spirit. Lord, your Spirit will never go against the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit will never go against the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the gifts of the Spirit are to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through this the next few weeks, that you will give us understanding by your Holy Spirit and help us to begin as a congregation, as a body of believers, to see the manifestation of those gifts working in our body for the profit of all. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise this morning. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Blessing over the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha ve'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.